Today's begin. I'm beginning a homily series. I choose to do this every once in a while to remind us of a vision I'm proposing. You know, I still feel right now it's Father Matthew's vision, but I'm really hopeful that at some point our parishioners would take this seriously and this could become the parish vision. Maybe, you know, I could say that this is the parish vision, but until it, you know, becomes a reality for us in the pews, right now it's still Father Matthew's vision. That's okay, right? That's part of this project of renewal, which is, it's not just a quick flash in the pan, hey, let's just, you know, do a quick thing, and oh, no, it's this long, it's a journey of trust following the Lord. And so the vision I'm proposing for the parish of renewal is renewal in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is renewal in God's love, that He loved us first. A renewal in God's love that helps build a connection where many Catholics feel disconnected when they come to church. And a renewal not only in connected to God's love, connected to each other, that's the cross, but a renewal in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give you and strengthen and open a gift in your hearts. You have something to offer. To put it in other words, the vision I'm proposing is that every parishioner at St. Teresa would be secure in the Father's love, radically connected in the body of Christ, and know they are gifted by the Holy Spirit. So this week I'm going to focus on secure in the Father's love. What do the first two readings have to do with this vision? What does the gospel have to do with this vision? And what does that mean for you and me? Or what can we do? What can we do about it? So first, what are these readings? It's beautiful that we have in the first two readings contrasts. I would suggest a contrast of those who are living outside of this foundation of God's love. And one who is grounded, standing firm on God's love. So you have in the first reading the people of God, the family of God, that God is forming and establishing, and that God has done such amazing things to saving them, rescuing them from slavery by miraculous signs, freeing them through water crossing the Red Sea, giving them miraculous food in the desert, bread from heaven, and quail. And yet, despite every effort of God to love them, a continuous theme in the desert is that at the first sign of difficulty, the people give up on God. At the first sign, the people say, who is this God? Where is this God? Is God for us or not? Is the Lord in our midst or not? Right? And so this is an image of those who are insecure, that they are not grounded in the Lord's love, and so that God pours and pours and pours His love into them and just slips through their fingers. Or it's like water off of a duck's back. It makes no lasting impact, right? So for those who don't know what it means to be grounded in the love of the Father, like all the love in the world, kind of like just, they're not able to receive. They're not able to hold on to it, okay? Contrast that to St. Paul in the second reading. What is St. Paul? Listen to his testimony as he shares with the Christian community at Rome. Paul writes, brothers and sisters, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Paul, if you read his letters, you see a man that is confident in his being loved by God. So that when Paul shares with the Christian community his trials and sufferings, he's confident of something beyond those sufferings, right? He says, I am one who's been scourged, been flogged, been stoned. He's been shipwrecked, he's been robbed, he's been left for dead. And yet, Paul says in all these things, he's loved. He's loved. So that's a difference, right? So one who is secure in the love of the Father, not only does he have a confidence in faith, but he endures such things and he knows God's love is stronger as opposed to those who are not there yet. And so, like, there's no amount of love. Like, they can't contain it, right? All right. So that's what has to do with the vision. What does the gospel have to do with the vision? That we beautifully see someone move from insecurity to security in the Father's love. We see this woman move from that place of insecurity, right? This place of visiting the well at the hottest time of the day. Why? So that she doesn't have to suffer the scorn or the gossip of the other women. So she goes at the most inconvenient time. This woman who is tired from the work of carrying this water jar, which represents the fatigue of her life of desperation. A desperation of searching for love, willing to do anything for a crumb of love, even it means being used by this sequence of men that leave her unsatisfied. This woman who, yes, herself represents our brokenness, our own brokenness. Jesus approaches, and three things I want to focus. There's a lot happening in this gospel, but three things that he does that transforms her and leads her from that place of insecurity to security. Where at the end of the gospel, you see her proclaiming, and she says, look, he knows everything I did, and she becomes an ambassador for Jesus. What happened? What are three things that Jesus does that shift her perspective from being insecure to secure? Well, first, he reveals his thirst. He longs. He longs for her love. We're going to hear in the Eucharistic prayer at this altar in just a few minutes this prayer. For when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for water to drink, he had already created the gift of faith within her. And so ardently did he thirst for her faith that he kindled in her the fire of divine love. So it's first, right, this thirst of Jesus. And second, I'd say it's him meeting her in her place of brokenness. Jesus meets this woman in her place of brokenness. He says to her, go, call your husband and come back here. And the woman answered, I do not have a husband. Jesus says, you are right in saying you do not have a husband, for you've had five husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. So he brings up this very, very uncomfortable, awkward conversation. You know, you don't talk about intimate, private, whatever things in public, right? Jesus, he's seeking her. He thirsts for his faith. And I have to imagine that his words and the way he's looking at her is with compassion and love. That as he brings this up, she does not feel put down as the other women in the village do. She doesn't feel used as perhaps this sequence of men has made her to feel. She feels seen and loved. And the third thing is that Jesus invites her. He meets her at that low place and invites her to an exalted dignity, because what he's doing, he's inviting her into the courts of the king. In the Jewish religion, there's very clear demarcations in the temple where men and women could be in worship of God. And if you hadn't made that commitment, you weren't able to stand in certain places of worship. So what Jesus is pointing out is that she's being invited into the hall of the king to worship. He says, the hour is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And you see, He's showing this to her because He's inviting her into that, to draw close to Him. Okay. And you can see that her life is transformed after that. She drops the jug representing the weight of sin and shame. She goes and proclaims Jesus, right? Okay, so one who moves from insecurity to security. Okay, what does that have to do with us? How? Because right now this is abstract. Is there anything in here that captivates your soul? Is there anything here that captivates your attention? Where you can say, you know, I recognize myself in the Israelites. I recognize myself that at the least inconvenience in my life, I turn my back on God. Do you recognize that you don't necessarily have a foundation? And that when you go through the storms of life, that all you can see is a storm. And you don't necessarily have confidence in the love of your Father in heaven. Okay? Or do you see something in Paul that you say, like, wow, if I could only have that kind of confidence? Or do you see something in Jesus' encounter with the woman? If I could meet Jesus in that way, if I could know His look of love. Well, then, you're invited. The Lord wants to love you. He wants to grow His love in you. It's not a question of if, it's yes, He does. And so that's why in our parish, I'm inviting our parishioners. And I don't think my invitation is going to be enough. I need other parishioners to invite, right? I kind of get frustrated at times. I invite us to do stuff, and I don't see a lot of people like signing up or taking me up on these things. All right, that's okay. I'm going to keep inviting. And I'm going to keep proposing these same ministries, because I really see it's not just for falling away or lukewarm Catholics. I really think it's for committed Catholics. When I'm really pointing my, what I keep saying, the two engines of renewal in a parish I'm proposing is the Acts retreat and then Alpha. Those aren't the only ways for renewal, but those are very consistent ways I've seen people kind of wake up to God's love and to start to lay the foundation that they've never had before in their life, the foundation of being loved by the Father. So just bringing these things up, planting seeds that I really believe I've experienced in my own life to grow from insecurity to security. It takes a little more than Sunday Mass. It can happen, but every story I've heard is someone who's done something outside of Sunday Mass for their faith and they've experienced something new. Again, it doesn't have to be these two things, but I believe it is taking a step in your faith forward. Okay. Well, good. So let's pray that we may hear that invitation. The Lord wants to meet us personally. He wants to invite us from that place of insecurity, from that place of incertitude, from that place of doubt. He wants to invite us, to lead us by encountering us, looking onto us with love, inviting us to build a foundation we can confidently live on. Let's pray that we may know in a new way this love of God that changes lives. Amen.